So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road.
Thank you, Dale. Let's affirm God's word this morning. This is my Bible. It is the unadulterated, inspired, authoritative word of God for my life. I will read it slowly. I will read it prayerfully. I will read it carefully. I will abide by its precepts. I will live by its principles. And I will stand on its promises. I declare it in Jesus' name. Amen. Alaric, come sing Shine On Me. I believe if the blind man was here with us this morning, this is what he would sing.
Hallelujah. Shine on me. Shine on me. Let the light of your lighthouse shine on me. Shine on me. Shine on me. Let the light of your lighthouse shine on me. Jesus, shine on me. Will you shine on me? Let the light of your lighthouse shine on me. Shine on me, God. Shine on me. Let the light of your lighthouse shine on me. Will you shine on me, God, in spite of my imperfections? Shine on me. Let the light, God, of your lighthouse shine on me. Shine on me, God. God, I need you to shine on me. Let the light of your lighthouse shine on me. Oh, God. Let the light of your lighthouse, just let the light of your lighthouse, let the light of your lighthouse shine on me. Shine on me, shine on me, shine on me. Hallelujah. Shine on me in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
From our text this morning, I want to preach from the subject, use what you have left to recover what you lost. Look at your neighbor and eyeball to eyeball and say, neighbor, use what you have left to recover what you lost. You might have lost some money, but you didn't lose all of your money. You might have lost your mind, but you didn't lose all of your mind. You might have lost your job, but you still got a roof over your head. Maybe you don't have enough money in the bank, but you can still pay your bills. And he might have walked out on you, but you still got some peace of mind. And you may not have everything as the Joneses have, but what you got, use what you've got left, so that you can recover what you lost. You're going to help me preach this morning. And we've just read a story about a blind man, Mark 10, 46 to 52. And it's a simple story about Jesus healing a blind man, but you have to understand that the Word of God is just more than simple stories. They're simple enough to hook us in, but they have greater theological meaning when we look deep on the inside to see what's really taking place. If we're really going to understand the story of the blind man, we have got to back up in our text to verse 32. And I want to point out a few nuggets to you as we make our way from verses 32 so that you can understand the context. It's very important for you as a church family to understand the context. I love preaching, but I'm not a big fan of preaching from Genesis to Revelation in one sermon. And so I like to just pick one text and work it real good. And so we're going to do that today. We're going to find every nugget we can find in the text. And hopefully you'll find some application for your souls. And so Sister Eddie, if we back up to verses 32, it tells us that they were on their way up to Jerusalem and tried to have user imagination. And the text says, with Jesus leading. It's Passion Week. It's the week before he's crucified. And it tells us that Jesus is leading the way to Jerusalem where he's going to be crucified. And it says that, and the disciples were astonished while those who followed were afraid. Jesus is going to Jerusalem. He's going to go to die. The disciples should have been up front with him, but the text says they were lagging behind. And then the crowd lagged behind the disciples. Stay with me for just a little while. And I want those who followed. And again, he took the 12 aside because he could see that they were astonished and they were concerned. And he told them what was going to happen to him when he got into Jerusalem. We're going up into Jerusalem, he said, and the Son of Man will be betrayed. Betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise again. You would think that the disciples having this information would have a better idea of what's going to happen. Immediately after that, the text tells us that James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Now remember, they were lagging behind. Now they came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. All right? We want you to do for us whatever we ask. Now, Jesus is talking about his death, and the disciples are concerned about their own needs. Hello, somebody. This man is about to go die for you, and all you can think about is what your needs are. I'll let that sink in for just a little bit. Now, I want you to underline this question. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit on your right hand and the other one sit on your left in your glory. All right. What are they looking for? They're looking for honor, position. All right, what are they looking for? Recognition, influence. They want to be close to Jesus. They want to be one on the left, one on the right. They're looking for power and position. Jesus says to them, you don't know what you're asking for. Can you drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. And the cup oftentimes is referred to the trials and the tribulation that you're going through. Baptism of death. Listen to the disciples, how arrogant these brothers are. "We can," they answered. And Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with. But to sit on my right hand or my left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." So the text tells us that the position of honor or certain positions have already been prepared for certain people. So sometimes when you start catching hell on earth, don't quit, because it could be God's way of letting you go through some stuff so that you can be elevated to the place that he wants you to be elevated in. So when your money is funny and your change is strange, don't quit the church. Don't quit on God. Don't quit reading your word. When life falls apart, don't give up on the things, the spiritual things. Because you don't know if God is using that situation to prepare you for a place of honor. So you ought to rejoice in whatever you're going through. Now let's stick with the text. And now listen to this. Now, two of the disciples came and said, "We want to sit on your left, we want to sit on your right." Now when the 10 who were lagging behind heard about this, they became indignant, they're angry. So there's a bit of jealousy going on with these 12 disciples. And Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. You're not supposed to be worrying about your position and your authority as to lord it over anyone. Instead, whosoever wants to become the greatest amongst you must learn how to serve. And whosoever wants to be first must be a slave to all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but come to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." All right. Then, Jesus, let me just get to my page here. All right, we're in verses 45. Now we come to 46. "And they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples gathered, a large crowd were leaving the city, and a blind man, Bartimaeus, started yelling to Jesus." Let me share some things with you so that you can get a bit of an insight as to what's going on before we get into some nuggets. It's Passion Week, as I told you. Jesus is walking ahead in confidence. Disciples are lagging behind in fear. The crowd followed the disciples. Jesus told them the things that he must face, and they totally seem to have missed it. And what Jesus is illustrating with the story of the blind man is that the disciples had eyes to see, but they had no vision of the future. They wanted the good things of God, but they could not see what it would take for them to get those things. And so, first of all, we notice that Jesus illustrates their condition in the story of a blind man. Here we have a blind man who can't see because he's blind. But he's not asking Jesus for power and position. He's asking Jesus for vision. We're told that this man, Bartimaeus, he was blind. And he was begging. We're also, if you do some history, you will find that his name means honor. And here is a man who his name means honor, but he's sitting in a place begging and living below his value. I'm going to come back to that in a bit. I'm just trying to set the picture for you so you can have a vision, a visual of what's taking place. Now, Mark skips over some events because it tells us that they were going into Jerusalem, and when we get to the text now, they're leaving Jericho. So in the other Gospels, in Matthew 20, 29, and 34, you will read that story, and you will see there are some things that Mark doesn't necessarily record. And then if you go over to Luke 18, 35 to 43, same story, you will find some different events recorded there. But I believe that Mark has inserted this story in this particular text because it was appropriate and applicable to the conditions of the disciples at the time, and it made a great illustration as to what their conditions were. And so, when we look in the text, we notice that in verses 36, Jesus asked the disciples, "What do you want me to do for you?" In verses 51, he asked the blind man the same question, "What do you want me to do for you?" What was the trouble with these disciples? They were blind. They could not see what was involved in the journey that they wanted to sit at Jesus' right hand and left hand. They wanted the power. They wanted authority. But this was a blind man. Jesus asked him the same thing. And he says, "Lord, I want my sight to be restored." I wish I had somebody in here today who wouldn't seek after the things of the Lord's hands, but would seek God for vision. Because when you have vision, you can have direction and purpose for your life. You can have things and still have no vision. Because there are many people that have got things, but they're still lost. But if you have vision, you can see the now and you can see into the future. I wish somebody would pray, "God, give me vision so I can see what I need to see." So we get into our text in verses 47. Jesus and his disciples coming out of Jericho. And I want to just pick some nuggets out of the text, Raquel, because I believe there's some nuggets in here that can be of benefit to some of us. Eleanor, the text says that Jesus and his disciples were now on their way coming out of Jericho. And I begin to think about this for a minute. Where was the blind man when Jesus was going in? And the text doesn't say anything, but it came to me that there might be some people here who may have missed Jesus the first time he passed by. But don't get in a huff and a hurry. Just stay right where you are, because if he go in, he's going to come back out. Stick around and stay right where you are. And if you missed him the first time, you'll get him the second time and the third time and the fourth time. Bartimaeus means honor, and we should have been identified by Bartimaeus, son of honor. But instead, we notice in the text that he is not first identified by his name, but he is identified by his condition. It's a sad day when people identify you on your condition and not by your name. It's a sad day when people identify you as being single and not having been married and having three or four children other than knowing you by your name. It's a sad day when people can identify you as being 99 years old and still living in your mama's basement and not by your name. And so he's identified by his condition and not by his name. But I came by to tell you today that if you want to have vision, you've got to see people for who they are, not their condition. See them how God sees them, not their condition. And too many of God's people are looking at us and we're looking at each other based on our condition, but not what God sees us. And Audrey, you ought not to let anybody define you by your condition, because your condition will change, but your name, son, daughter of God, will stay the same. We notice in our text that he was identified by his condition. He was blind. His condition is blindness. I try to find out from the text, Alan and Catherine, whether he was born blind or whether he lost his sight sometime in life and couldn't really have a definite, but the text says that he asked the Lord for him to restore his sight. And so I'm going with the thought that you can't restore what you never had. You can't restore what you never had. So if he's asking for restoration, it means at some point in time he could see and something happened that caused him to lose his sight. Now, because of his blindness, he had to beg for a living. And Brother Quinton, when you're blind, you have to sit in an area where there's high traffic volume with a cup and hope and pray for people to give a deposit into your cup. He was waiting on people to bless him. But those same people, by blessing him, were not changing his condition. In fact, if you think about it, they were almost paying him to remain blind. If they gave them millions of dollars, it would not restore his sight. If they gave him 10 houses, it wouldn't restore his sight. Camels and donkeys, it wouldn't restore his sight. So he was dependent upon people to keep his livelihood going. But in some sense, he was dependent upon people who were also happy to keep him living below his value and below his potential. After all, his name means honor. And you ought to be careful not to let anybody keep you living below your value, living below your worth, and living below your potential. But that cannot happen unless you know who you are. Because when you know who you are, you can refuse to allow people to keep you living below your value, below your potential, and below your worth. We notice that the text says that he was sinning and he heard that Jesus was passing. And this is where we get our text from. He was blind, could not see, but he heard. He was blind, could not see, but he heard. He lost his sight, but he didn't lose his hearing. He lost his sight, but he didn't lose his voice. He lost his sight, but he didn't lose his joy. He lost his sight, but he didn't lose his legs. And so I came by here to tell you, use what you have left to restore what you lost. He heard Jesus was passing by, not visiting, not staying over, not lingering, which means that he had a small window of opportunity to create change in his life. There are some people that want change, and they keep waiting for next year, and the year after, and tomorrow. But if you want change, you've got to make use of the opportunities that are available to you right here, right now, today. The old folks used to say, never put off for tomorrow what you can do today. Seize the opportunity. He had a short window of opportunity. This was not a time for him to go into prayer and fasting for 40 days. This was not a time for endless deliberation. You know what drives me crazy sometimes? God gives people an opportunity right before them, and they say, well, I got to go pray about it. I got to go intercede. I got to go think about it and deliberate, and can't make a decision. When God gives you a window of opportunity, you need to seize the moment right now so that you can get your blessings. And somewhere along the line, he must have heard that it was Jesus who turned water into wine. Somewhere along the line, he must have heard that it was Jesus who is able to open up blinded eyes. And somewhere along the line, he must have heard that Jesus is the one who can heal leprosy. Somewhere along the line, he must have heard that Jesus is able to raise a dead man from the grave. And with this short window of opportunity, he made a conscious decision. And I want to park on this curb for a second. He was blind, and somebody had to tell him about the things of Jesus. New Hope, I came by today to tell you that there are many spiritually blind people. They got physical eyes, but they're spiritually blind. But unless you and I take the moment of opportunity to tell them about the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for you, unless you take the opportunity to tell him, I know a man who can take a nobody and turn him into somebody, unless you decide to make up in your mind to become a witness for the Lord, people that are spiritually blind would never experience the transforming power of Jesus Christ. You and I have got work to do, friends. It is not for us to come and sit and enjoy a good service on Sunday. Somebody has to be involved intentionally in speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ so that somebody else can hear and cry out to God on their own. So if all week you didn't tell anyone about Jesus, you're not the disciple. A true disciple seizes every moment and every opportunity to tell somebody else about the things of Almighty God. Well, in verses 47b, not only did he engage his hearing, but the text says that he engaged his voice. He took personal initiative. Barnabas took it upon himself to call on Jesus. Barnabas took it upon himself to call on Jesus. I said to someone not so long ago, and they got mad at me. They said, Pastor, would you pray for me? And I said, well, do you pray for yourself? They said, well, I can't. And I said, well, if you don't pray for you, why should I pray for you? You have to start praying for you first, and I'll come in and have a confirmation and partner with you and stand in the gap of intercession so that we can have this need met. And I came by this morning to tell you that if you want your circumstances changed, you've got to call on Jesus for yourself. You don't know what I'm talking about today. You've got to call on him. The text says that when Bartimaeus began to call on Jesus, the crowd said, why don't you be quiet? The crowd said, why don't you hold your peace? But the text tells me that blind Bartimaeus began to shout even louder. He opened up his voice. He opened up his vocal cords. The crowd was trying to shut him up, but he knew he had a small window of opportunity and said, well, nobody's going to get me to hold my peace. Jesus is passing by, and I need my transformation. I need a change in my life. I need a change in my circumstances. I need a change because I want my sight restored. And he began to lift his voice. And I wish somebody would lift their voice and say, Jesus! He began to lift his voice and call on the name of Jesus. Do I have anybody in the house who know how to call on the name of Jesus? Have you ever been through some heartaches and pain? Have you had some crowds standing in front of you saying that you can't get to Jesus? Have you had some roadblocks and some barriers, some financial challenges, some disappointments, some midnight tears? I'm not telling you what I heard, but I'm telling you what I know. I have learned to call on Jesus in the midnight hour. Jesus, my friend in trouble. Jesus, my leaning post. Jesus, my midnight rider. Jesus, my help for tomorrow. Won't you call him, New Hope? Would you call him? Because when you call him, he sure will answer. The crowd was loud, but Jesus took time to hear the voice of a blind man. And what it tells me is that the Son of God, even though there were so many people around him, even though the crowd was around him, he still heard one voice. And your voice is enough. Would you raise your voice? Would you holler until your change come? Would you shout, Lord, I need you? Would you call on him like you've never called him before? I
And what Jesus stopped in his tracks and said, tell him to come to me, because I admire such faith of a blind man. Let me talk to you a little bit about the crowd. Because the crowd is in the church too. You start yelling in the church and people start watching you crazy. But I want you to know that if you want to open up your mouth and begin to praise God, and your neighbors start looking at you a little funny, why don't you switch seats and go find another neighbor to sit next to? Nobody's going to hold my peace. Now, I'm not talking about forcing them to raise their voices, but they're looking at you funny because you're getting your praise on. The Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Now, so when you're in church, you ought not to be too cute and sophisticated. You ought to let your hair down. And if God woke you up this morning and brought you here in your right mind, somebody ought to give him some praise for his goodness and his mercy. The crowd, look out for the crowd. The crowd is always willing to keep you living below your value and your potential. They would be happy to give you a couple of dimes without changing your condition. He was depending upon people who were responsible for making his day, because if he didn't get any money, he wouldn't have a good day. I dare you to try to make my day. There will always be people trying to keep you from getting what's yours. But someone's negative opinion of you must never become your reality, Graham. Graham, somebody's negative opinion of you must never become your reality. And the only way you can stop it from becoming your reality is you have to know who you are in him. Because people will look at your condition and don't take time to invest in your name. But you are the Son of the Most High, living Son of the Living God. You are a Son of God. Son of God. Son of God. Son of God. You're a child of the King. So Jesus was waiting on the blind man, not the blind man waiting on Jesus. Somebody today is waiting on Jesus to change their situation. But Jesus is waiting on you to make the first move. Somebody is waiting on Jesus to change their circumstances. But Jesus is waiting on you to make the first move. When the blind man cried out the second time, and I dare you to call him the first time, and I dare you to call him the second time. But when all hope seemed to be fading, call him a third time. The text says that Jesus heard the blind man and stopped and told the crowd to tell him to come. The text says that he's sitting begging. If you are going to experience true transformation, you've got to get up. You've got to get up from where you are and stop living below your value. You got to get up from a pity party. You got to get up from the influences of the crowd, from the influences of the people around you. You've got to first get up and stand to your feet. You've got to, when you get up, you got to stand up. And you got to stand up for something of worth and value. There's a lot of people standing up for a lot of things today, but it's not all godliness. But you ought to stand up for something, for what you believe in. And so when Jesus called him, he believed in the voice of Jesus. And so he got up and then he stand up. And I want to challenge every believer here today. You ought to stand up to the voice of God. You ought to stand up to the promises of God. You got to stand up to the call. You got to stand up to direction. You got to stand up and say, Lord, I can't see you, but I can hear you, and I'm willing to make a move in the right direction. Even though the crowd is around, I'm willing to fight my way through the crowd. And listen, remember, the crowd wasn't too willing to help the blind man. So we notice that he began to start fighting his way, trying to get to Jesus. I want to pause on this corner for a minute, that even though Jesus may have called you, getting to him might not be the easiest thing you do. You might have some obstacles. There might be some people in your way that you have to push aside. There might be some stuff you've got to get rid of. The text tells us that the blind man got up and threw off his cloak, and he threw off everything that was set him back from getting to his Savior. And there's somebody here today, Quentin, that's got to throw off some sin. They've got to throw off some bitterness. They've got to get rid of some rejection. They've got to get rid of a bad attitude. They've got to have a new mindset. If you want to get to Jesus, you've got to do something that you've never done. You've got to push some folks aside. You got to stand on your feet and begin to walk in the right direction. Some folks are walking in darkness, but the blind man said, I may not be able to see, but I'm walking towards the light. I can hear it, but I can't see it. But I'm walking towards light. I'm walking towards truth. I'm walking towards hope. I'm walking towards victory. I'm walking towards my deliverance. I'm walking towards my help in Jesus Christ. You got to get up. Stop living beneath your value. You got to stand up for what you believe in. If you hear the voice, believe in the voice. And you got to start walking away from darkness towards light. Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus, also engaged his faith. He engaged his faith. Engaged his faith. He was healed according to his faith. Jesus says, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. What's faith? Talk to me. What is faith? Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. All right, let's get this right. What is faith? Hope for the evidence of things not seen. When the blind man heard the voice of Jesus, he could not see. But he knew that if he could get to Jesus, he could see. He was hoping for his sight. Substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. I don't know what you are hoping for, but I want to tell you today that if you can see the invisible, you can do the impossible. If you can see the invisible, you can do the impossible. He was physically blind, but he can see that if he can get to Jesus, his eyes would be open and he would have vision. Text tells us that he was healed because of his faith. Before you can reach out for help, you must have some knowledge of what is wrong with you. Do you know how many people are looking for help but don't know what's wrong with them? Do you know how many people are looking for help but don't know what's wrong with them? If they don't know what's wrong with them, it's difficult to get help. But the text tells me that when the blind man came to Jesus. Now, I have to puzzle at Jesus a little bit, because now remember, he's trying to teach his disciples something. A blind man has come to you, and you're going to ask him, what is it do you want me to do for you? It's like having a hungry man come to me and says, can you help me? What, you know, He's hungry. Well, of course, he needs food. If he's blind, he wants to see. But Jesus wanted to point out to the disciples that they had eyes but had no vision. This man had no eyes, but he had vision. And he says, Lord, he could have said, Lord, I need some bling. He could have said, Lord, I need a house. He could have said, get me a wife. He could have said, get me somebody who can be, he could have said, get me a seeing eye dog. But he wasn't interested in stuff. He was interested in vision. Without vision, people perish. If you don't have vision for your life, you will perish. And so you ought to have vision for your life. But how do you get vision? Well, you've got to recall the things that you've heard. And then when there's a response, you've got to engage not only your hearing, but engage your feet, engage your body, engage your other senses. And this is what he did. He engaged his other senses, and here we find him at Jesus, knowing what he wanted. He said, Lord, I want to recover my sight. Have mercy on me. Now, mercy is not getting what you do deserve. And compared to the sons of Zebedee, who thought it was a right for them to have power and authority. In other words, his ability to see was not a right, but a privilege. His ability to talk was not a right, but a privilege. In other words, his ability to shout was not a right, but a privilege. And I wish some of God's people would stop complaining about all the stuff they don't have and begin to hold on to what they do have and celebrate what they do have. I wish I had some of God's children today who recognize that every waking moment of your life is not a right, but it is a privilege. I wish I had somebody who recognized this morning, every morning, that I can get up and put on my own clothes. It's not a right, but it is a privilege. Every time I'm able to feed myself, it's not a right, but it is a privilege. Every time I can get on the Greyhound bus and go from one city to another city, it's not a right, but a privilege. Every time I can take an aspirin and cure my ailment, it's not a right, but it's a privilege. Every time I inhale a deep breath, it's not a right, it's a privilege. Because I'm only here because of the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. And I believe as God's children, when we begin to live our lives in light of this reality, we will have a greater and a deeper appreciation for the things of God, because we know from whom our help comes from. We know from whom our strength comes from. We know who gives us the power every morning by morning. New mercies I see. Thank God for his faithfulness every time I can help myself. The blind man was not afraid to cry out. And I wish somebody would cry out to God. He was not afraid to cry out for mercy. He was not afraid to cry out to Jesus. I want somebody to know today that there is power in the name of Jesus. You can call on the name of Jesus when you are in trouble, and a help will surely come. You can call that name and he'll be a leaning post in the midnight hour. You can lean on him when you can't lean on anybody else. I want somebody to know that there is healing in the name. There is victory in the name. Oh God, there is deliverance in the name. When you cry out for help expecting a breakthrough, God will answer. When you begin to cry out, folks around you will want you to be quiet. But lift your voice and let the glory and the praise go up so that your cry will be heard and God would respond. He was rebuked, but Jesus heard him calling. And I want you to know that Jesus hear you calling today. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. He was calling on God, and God heard him. He couldn't see, but he could hear. He couldn't see, but he could talk. He couldn't see, but he could smell. He couldn't see, but he can touch. He couldn't see, but he could walk. He couldn't see, but he could beg. He couldn't see, but he could taste. He refused to focus on what he lost and began to utilize what he had. Well, you might have lost your eyes, but you still got your mind. You may have lost your ears, but you still got your mouth. You might have lost some friends, but you still got other friends. You may have lost your job, but you're still paying your bills. You may have lost your love, but there's still a greater love and a deeper love on the inside. You may have lost your money, but God has resources you don't even know about. You may have lost your house, but you still got a roof over your head. You might have lost your health, but he is the great physician. You may have lost your joy, but if you hang on long enough and shout Jesus one more time, I guarantee you that joy will come in the morning. Use what you've got left to recover what you lost. Use what you've got left to recover what you lost. I lost some friends along the way, but I've got some new friends. I've lost some health along the way, but I've got some new health. I've had some sicknesses, but God is healing. And so I want to challenge you to use what you've lost. I want to use what you've got left to recover what you've lost. And some of you are in a pity party, and some folks are weeping and mourning over what they don't have and what they should have. But I want you to serve notice on the devil. As of today, the pity party is over. He will have no control over your mind. As he reminds you of yesterday, you remind him of tomorrow, because the God that I serve is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he specializes, Mr. Brown, in making a way out of no way. If you got some river you can't cross, God specializes. You got some mountain you can't climb, God specializes. You got some barrier you can't get over, God specializes. I dare you to call him a second time. He went in and you missed him, but on the way out, he'll get you again. Stay where you are and call on the name of Jesus, and he will hear, and he will answer, and he will deliver. That's who he is. Use what you've got left to recover what you've lost. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Use what you've got left to recover what you lost. Lost his eyes, but it didn't stop him from shouting. Lost his eyes, didn't stop him from jumping. Lost his eyes, but it didn't stop him from walking. Lost his eyes, but it didn't affect his hearing. He used what he had left. You might have only got $5 left, but use it to recover what you lost. Use what you have left to recover what you lost. End the pity party. End the complaining. Stop looking at what you lost, what didn't work, and who left you and who's gone. But use what you've got left, Valerie. Use what you've got left to restore and to recover what you have lost. This is my word for you today. This is my word for you. The blind man engaged his hearing. He engaged his voice. He engaged his feet. And he engaged his faith. You need all four of those. And don't let the crowd stop you. Don't let the crowd stop you. The more they try to shut you down, just yell a little bit louder. Yeah. Captain, when you go to Uganda, don't let the crowd stop you. Even on the wrong side of the road, don't let the crowd stop you. Don't let the crowd stop you. Use what you've got left to recover what you've lost. There may be somebody here today, like the blind man, sitting, begging, living below his value, living below his worth, living below his potential. The people around him are quite happy to keep giving him a tip and to sustain him without changing his condition. but he needs a transformation. Those on the altar ministry team, would you come at this time? And there may be someone here today, like the blind man, that needs to start using what you have left so that you can recover what you've lost. Use what you have left to recover what you've lost. Quit complaining about 1942. It's gone. It will not come again. But use what you've got left now. Use what you have left now so you can recover what you've lost. Hallelujah. The altars of the church are open to you. If you need prayer in some way, we would be more than happy to pray for you and to encourage you in any way that we can. Would you give the Lord an opportunity today to do a deeper, intimate work in your life? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right. All right. You got that out of song for me? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right. I got to be careful not to burn him out, but I just like to hear him sing. He told me he had two, so I said, okay, that's fine. All right. Well, it's a good day when the body of Christ don't have any needs for prayer. Wow. So. Come on, New Hope. Hallelujah. 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 Nolan, if you can get me the microphone, if you don't mind. That'd be great. The doors of the church are open. Whatever your prayer needs may be, give us an opportunity to pray with you. More than happy to cover you in prayer today.
Have you any river that seems uncrossable? Have you any mountain you can't
Dan, would you come
tunnel
for a
through? God specializes in the things that seems impossible. He'll do for you what no other can do. Have you any river that seems uncrossable? Have you any mountains you can't climb through? God specializes in the things it seems impossible. He'll do for you what no other can do. Have you any river that seems uncrossable? Have you any mountain you can't tunnel through? God specializes in the things that seems impossible. He'll do for you what no other can do. That seems uncrossable. Have you any mountains you can't tunnel through? But God specializes in the things that seems impossible. possible. He'll do for you what no other can do.
Folks, we're just going to close the formalities of the service on behalf of New Hope. Take a hold of something that you got here today and take it out the doors with you. But as you go, don't forget to shake a hand. Don't forget to greet one another, hug, handshake, encourage one another. And I hope to see you all again here next week. Have a great week in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.